Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now back to the Men's College World Series special, live from Omaha Baseball Village, powered by Access Bank, here for a reason, and Brookside Medical on 1620 The Zone.
Connor Happer and Robbie Luba back with you at the Omaha Baseball Village, where Hour 1 is presented by Union Bank and Trust. People don't have your money. Your money has people. Member FDIC. One question before we get to Robbie giving me his NBA draft thoughts. Will Ole Miss wear the powder blues today?
I hope so.
I mean,
I want to see him before the series is over.
Much like, you know, when you use your starting pitchers or when you use your top relievers.
Sure, yeah.
You have to ask yourself the question, when do you fire your bullets? When do you fire your best bullets?
It's like, when does Notre Dame wear the green jerseys?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
When do you use them? So there's a national championship on the line today.
Yeah.
There will also be a national championship on the line tomorrow.
If they lose.
It is possible there is no tomorrow.
True.
So we may go the entire College World Series, if they don't wear them today,
yeah,
without seeing Ole Miss in their powder blues, which would be a massive disappointment.
Tragedy.
All of the nice things that I said about the Ole Miss fans.
Take them all back.
And then bring all the 20,000 people up here and how great they've been and you know, helping out our local economy, buying 20,000 Jell-O shots and whatever they're doing. I don't care anymore if you don't wear the powder blues. You have to wear them once.
I need the powder blues. I will say, from a strategic standpoint, I understand if they don't wear them today.
Because you're wearing them for a winner-take-all national championship game tomorrow,
which is a better time to wear them.
I thought you were going to bust them out in that last game against Arkansas.
So did I, to get to the championship series.
Because that's a really important
felt
moment.
Felt like the time to wear them.
Right, because your back's up against the wall. You're
got to get the win. Got to get the dub there.
So if we don't see them today, and if there was a game three in this series,
you
which
have to wear.
I think it would be a lock.
I mean,
it'd be a guarantee.
If it's not, then I'm boycotting.
I got to go ask some people about that, because it's pretty disappointing that we haven't seen them so far.
I understand wanting to save them for a big situation, but if we don't get to see them, I'm going to be very upset.
There's a national championship on the line today, Robbie. Like,
that's as big of a situation as it gets.
It doesn't get much bigger than that.
Except for tomorrow, where it's a winner take all.
All right, NBA draft.
Do you want to pepper me with questions first, or how do you want to do this?
Yes, let's start here.
Okay.
What do you think of Chet Holmgren?
Love him.
You love him?
I'm all the way in. Here's the... Do you have follow-ups?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so I'll give my little spiel here.
Okay.
I understand the risk. So let me start with that.
Yes.
I'm not blind to it. There's risk with anybody you're drafting. There are no such thing as sure things. They don't exist. Okay? His skill set in this draft, both offensively and defensively, I believe is the only true potential to be a franchise guy in this draft. There's other potential very good players in this draft. Paolo Banchero is probably the most NBA-ready guy in this draft.
I would agree.
He could come in tomorrow and score 23 points per game for an entire NBA season, and I would not be surprised. Okay, physically and skill set-wise, Paolo Banchero is ready to do that. The defensive instincts of Chet Holmgren are basically on the same level as like a Rudy Gobert right now.
No, the thought I had while I was watching him. I was like,
otherworldly.
This guy is Rudy Gobert on defense, and he's whatever he is on offense.
So the way I've been describing it is if Rudy Gobert's defense had a baby with Pau Gasol's offense, you get Chet Holmgren. And
that player
is incredible.
Yeah.
Okay. If that's what you get. And so that's the upside of Chet Holmgren, which if you're drafting number one, which by the way, I think Oklahoma City was the right fit for him. I think they have a better chance of developing him well than the Magic do, because just their history of developing guys.
No, I'm with you.
Versus the Magic's, right? But if I'm the Magic, I take a swing at the guy that has the potential to change a franchise versus a guy who I think could be really good. Paolo Banchero could be an all-star. He could be really, really good. He is not a franchise changer. And so, to me, while I understand the risk of the body, everything else is there. And we've seen guys with weird bodies be successful before.
It takes time.
Sure.
I think this guy's going to be a pretty decent player right out of the gate, but
there's going to be some things that he can't do because of his physical limitations.
The intrigue is obviously, what's he going to be like when he's 24?
Yeah.
You know, like what, you know, he's
what
already.
What does he look like 3 to 5 years from now?
He's very interesting at age 19.
Because I don't think he's actually going to get very much bigger, but how much stronger can he get?
That's it.
That's the key. Because if he can be strong enough to hold his own,
yeah,
then it's a game changer.
Because you even saw it last year at in some cases, he's playing the West Coast Conference. Like
he get bumped off his spot sometimes.
For sure.
Yeah. But he was still incredible.
I've heard some people describe it this way, and I think it's pretty apt for him. Like, you almost have to think of him offensively as like a wing.
He is. I mean, he is a wing offensively.
Right. And he's 7 feet tall, so you might not be like, well, this guy's he's a big center.
It's the same thing with Kevin Durant, right?
Right.
You looked at Kevin Durant, and you're like, oh, he's a wing. I mean, he started his career as a two guard.
Yeah.
You maybe play him at the four now as he's aging out of his athleticism a little bit, but you don't look at Chet Holmgren and say, yep, that guy's going to be – and to be fair, no one in the NBA goes back to the basket anymore for any significant amount of time.
Yeah.
So to be like, oh – how's he going to do in the post is a question that only matters like 8% of the time in the NBA.
Is there a world where Chet settles in defensively as the same way that Durant kind of has? Because I kind of thought at first that Durant was going to be a little bit more of a sort of rim protector than he is, so, even though he was a wing in college.
Yeah, so the funny thing about Durant is I think he actually could have been a professional rim protector.
Right.
Like, because there were times in OKC when he kind of held that role, and then there were times with Golden State where they would go small with the Draymond lineup, and KD was kind of the rim protector, and he was very good at it. I think it took too much away from his offense for him to do it full-time. But that's part of what you're buying in Chet Holmgren is the rim protection, the defensive instincts. So I think you could see flashes of Kevin Durant as a rim protector from Chet defensively. But I think he'll be that more full time.
It's a good sell, but you do have to know. With
Chet, 100% acknowledge there's enormous bust potential if the body doesn't work.
For sure.
And
it's a weird body.
It's a weird body, but it's not a. There's, in my mind at least, there's not really health concerns. Because that's the other, like, there's two different issues with body types in the NBA. It's like, hey, this guy's had health issues, or I'm not sure his body plays.
How many times have we seen it? Like, a guy's in college and he's 7'2" or whatever, and he just has, you know, he can't stay healthy because his legs don't work well anymore.
But
this is not the case with Chet.
Yes, usually those guys have those health issues dating back to high school, college, wherever. With Chet, I mean, the big red flag with Greg Oden, one of his legs was significantly longer than the other one.
Yeah.
That was never going to work.
Right.
That's not the issue with Chet. It's strictly, okay, it looks a little funny, and is he strong enough?
I am concerned about his name being Chet still, though.
Yeah.
And you're just not going to get rid of that. So I don't know what he's going to have to do.
Would it be better if he went by, like, Chester?
Yes. It would be.
Chester Holmgren.
Be awesome. What's wrong with that? I just don't like that his name is Chet.
That's
a bad name.
It is a bad name. It's not when his parents had him, they weren't like, this guy's going to be a professional athlete.
There's only one Chet in my world, is Chet Stedman.
Professional athlete, though.
Professional athlete. That's true.
So, yeah, that's my sell on Chet Holmgren.
Who you've mentioned that the Kings did horrible.
They did not. They kinged really hard.
They took Keegan Murray at fourth overall.
This is not about Keegan Murray, by the way.
Yeah.
Keegan Murray's a nice player.
Keegan Murray has a limited ceiling, I would call it.
Yeah, Keegan Murray is going to be
an NBA player, is going to be
a really nice role player at some point in his career for a good team. That's not what the Kings needed.
Why did the Kings king?
Because Jaden Ivey was the obvious pick at number 4.
Yeah.
Most NBA draft analysts and honestly NBA draft scouts, like real NBA front office people, didn't have this as a top 3. They had it as a top 4, and Jaden Ivey was the 4. And here's the other thing. Even if you don't want Jaden Ivey, which you should, because you're the Kings and you're very bad and you should want good basketball players.
He's freakishly athletic.
I mean, people are comparing him to Ja Morant, and it's not crazy, okay?
Oh, yeah, from an athleticism standpoint,
yes,
for sure.
And so you, it's not about, okay, if you decide that's not who you want, everybody else below you wanted Jaden Ivey. The Knicks tried incredibly hard to get Jaden Ivey, and they're like, nope, we're not going to get any extra value out of this. We're just going to take the guy that's not as good. And listen, again, I think Keegan Murray is going to have a really nice career as a good player on a good team, but probably like your fourth option offensively.
The Knicks were hilarious, too. They decided to push everything off so they can make a run at Jalen Brunson this summer, which will undoubtedly end up really well for them.
Mind-numbingly stupid. I can't imagine. Like, listen, Jalen Brunson is a nice player. You don't clear cap space
the
Jalen Brunsons of the world.
The second that he dropped 41 in the playoffs, it was like, oh, yeah, he's going to be a Knick. And they're going to pay him a lot of money.
Dude, there's not a top 40 list of NBA players in the world right now that includes Jalen Brunson. Like, that's just – and you're clearing –
but he had 40 points in a playoff
game. You're clearing cap space for that guy?
He's from the East Coast. He's a tough guard.
They hired his dad.
Yeah.
Listen,
you don't sell out for Jalen Brunson, guys.
He's not that type of guy.
Jalen Brunson's good. I like Jalen Brunson. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's your franchise.
He's a really nice point guard if you have a franchise wing.
Yeah.
And RJ Barrett.
He might have RJ Barrett.
He's good. He's not a franchise wing. Come on, man.
He'll be around for a while, though.
He's going to be a nice player for the NBA for a long time, much like Keegan Murray. He's not changing the course of your franchise. Idiotic by the Knicks. Idiotic.
Amazing.
By the Kings.
Amazing Knicks.
Here's why the Jaden Ivey thing is such a problem. Even if you don't want him, which is stupid, he's the guy besides Chet that has franchise changing ability in this draft.
Yeah.
He was never gonna go in the top three.
If he develops a consistent shot.
Yes. If he reaches his potential, like listen, if Jabari Smith reaches his potential, I think he's like a better version of Rashard Lewis, which is not a franchise changer. If Paolo Banchero reaches his potential, he's like a Chris Webber, which is not a franchise changer. Really nice players, all-stars, all-NBA even, not franchise changers. If Jaden Ivey reaches his potential, he's a franchise changer.
Yeah.
If Chet Holmgren reaches his potential, he's a franchise changer. Those are the only two guys in the draft that could have changed your fortune as a franchise, and the Kings were like, not only do we not want that guy, we also don't want to get compensated for not taking that guy.
If you're the Magic and the Kings, you got to be willing to take some risks. You got to be willing to say, hey, there's a chance here that this guy just doesn't give us anything.
Here's the problem with the Magic is they looked at their roster and said, we don't think we're that far away. And it's like, you misevaluated.
You did a bad job of that.
Your roster. I don't care how good you think Jalen Suggs and Franz Wagner are. They're not getting it done when you add Paolo Banchero to the mix.
Yeah, I've heard all the Franz Wagner talk over the last couple weeks from the Magic. I'm like,
nice player.
He's part of your big three?
Nice player. Jalen Suggs did not have a great rookie year, but I liked him coming out of college. Nice player. They don't make you a contender when you add Paolo Banchero to the mix. And I like Paolo, but he's not what they needed.
And now we have free agency. And this could get fun.
I'm excited. There's so many possibilities.
I just am mostly excited to tune into the Kyrie saga.
It's going to be a bleep show.
Oh, it'll be a disaster.
Yes.
I can't wait.
Because if he decides that he's out of town, then there's a pretty good chance KD demands a trade, in which case you're going to see... I don't know why Kevin Durant likes Kyrie Irving so much.
Kyrie clearly doesn't care about him.
At all.
It's a bad friendship.
It's a terrible friendship. It's an incredibly toxic relationship.
Oh.
Kyrie just takes and takes and takes, and KD's like, I got your back.
It's
like,
weird.
Why?
Weird.
Why are we doing this?
You don't have to keep doing this, Kevin.
Yeah, you deserve better.
You can go play wherever you want, and any franchise would take you.
Maybe not Golden State again.
Yeah, probably not Golden State.
I think
again.
They really enjoyed winning a championship without him.
And the Russell Westbrook thing will be fun to watch too.
Yeah, I mean, who is going to take that dumpster fire of a contract?
Nobody.
Maybe OKC actually.
Yeah,
actually on the table.
And then he'll be really good, and they'll trade him at the deadline for 42 more draft picks, which will be fantastic.
That's what OKC does.
All right, there's Robbie Lula's NBA draft / NBA corner.
Yeah,
nice job.
Thanks for letting me get it off my chest.
That worked out really well. I'm sure there's more thoughts, and you could, just tweet them or something.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah, that's what the Twitter's for.
We are at the Omaha Baseball Village. Mitch Sherman of The Athletic is going to join us. He'll stop by here in just a couple seconds on his way in. We're powered by Access Bank. Here for a reason, yours. And finally, Hour 1 is presented by Union Bank and Trust. People don't have your money. Your money has people. We'll come back with Mitch here as we're a little under 2 hours away from Game 2 of the College World Series Championship Series. Game number 2 between Ole Miss and Oklahoma. We'll be back with more on 1620 The Zone.